This is the Technical Difficulties. We're playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel.
Hello, I'm Chris Joel, Christ College, Oxford, reading references to surfing in the early King James Bible.
Everybody's favourite, Gary Brannan. Gary Brannan.
So the vicar, with a sickly smile, shook hands with the monkey and could never look the banana in her face again.
And the bounciest man on the internet, Matt Gray.
Hello, live studio audience!
In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point and a ding. And a special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mysteries!
Oh, yeah.
And today we are talking about Jack Churchill.
Is this the method by which one raise a wartime prime minister?
I mean, I'm glad that's the version of the verb you went with.
Well, I'll be honest, there was a flip of a coin, and I went with the clean one. Our church has been raised ever so slightly.
Yes, you may check my undercarriage for wear and tear.
No, no, it's for when he needs to seem more authoritative.
He's a lot shorter than Stalin.
We shall fight them on the beaches.
On the fringe. And in the streets.
And in the treetops.
It's just like the idea that Churchill is now just sat about 6 foot about everyone else in a chair that he can't possibly get down from.
At which point there's a beeping noise and Stalin comes in on a cherry picker.
It explicitly says at the end of this article, of no relation to Winston Churchill.
Well, there you go. That's our first 5 minutes completely redundant.
Is it that nutter who tried to fight World War II with a claymore?
Oh,
yeah. Episode over.
Sorry, guys. Thank you very much. Now, you say episode over, there is a heck of a lot more to this story going on
a
here.
A claymore is a proximity trigger.
No, it's a hand and a half Scottish sword.
Oh, sword.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
yeah, I mean, claymore is a mine as well, but yeah. No, this is...
Okay,
this
different type of claymore.
Yeah, as in Scottish clansmen.
Oh.
I will see off the entire continent on my... And that was basically his remit.
Wow.
That was what he went into the war to do.
Wow.
Where do you think he was born?
Not Scotland.
Not Scotland, you're absolutely right. He was born in Ceylon.
Sri Lanka.
And actually, you say drafted. He joined... of his own accord in the 1920s.
So only because there weren't enough things to cut up in Ceylon.
Well, yes. He left the army in 1936.
Because there was not enough fighting.
Well, so he then worked as a few other things. What might that be? One is a phrase I wouldn't associate with the 1930s, of a job for a strapping young lad.
Chef, IT technician.
I was going to say. Operative of a mildly successful nail bar. A little bit off the top. Right. Whoa!
Male model.
I can see that.
He also used his archery and bagpipe talents
to
play a role in a film called The Thief of Baghdad.
Eh? With bagpipes?
With
the bagpipes of Baghdad.
Was it originally The Thief of Bagpipes?
He won second place in the military piping competition at Aldershot Tattoo.
But that was cake,
that like cake?
Jinx!
You're going to ice a cake with some bagpipes.
Yeah, you can do 5 bits at a time if you blow hard enough.
Well, he also represented Britain at the World Archery Championships. So
with
he also
sword.
Used the bagpipes. No, this was a longbow.
Of course it would be.
Second World War breaks out.
And he decides not to bring the longbow, cos impractical or something.
Wrong.
Really?
Really?
Hi, can I help? I've got one of these.
He really was going to party like it was 1399, wasn't he?
So he was with the Manchester Regiment in France and ambushed a German patrol. How did he give the signal to attack?
Did he just scream and run?
Not this time. I'm going to give you the point.
This time.
I'm going to give you the point because yes, he did that plenty of other times, but not this specific. He was in command of the troops. How did he give the signal to attack?
Did he have his bagpipes with him?
A quick pop on the high notes, yeah. With the drone beneath.
That's not this skill. That's not the skill he used here.
Flaming arrows.
Flaming arrows.
I'm going to give you the point. He killed an enemy sergeant with the longbow.
Oh boy.
Not with the arrow, with the bow.
With the stringy bit first. Oh,
the only
like a cheese wire.
To use the technical term, the stringy bit of the bow. Yeah.
The last recorded person ever killed during wartime with a longbow and arrow.
Whoa.
German sergeant.
Now, I've just noticed something.
Yes.
This man seemed to have a penchant, is that the word, for running into battle and screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He managed to go into several battles.
Many battles.
Without dying.
Yes.
Yeah, but with the longbow, you are quite a way back.
Norway, 1941, landing craft and a raid on a German garrison.
Yeah.
I paint me a picture. What?
I'm thinking night time, yep. I imagine. Now, you see, it's a point of when he starts playing the bagpipes.
France, what is that coming from over the ocean?
Yeah, that's
sorry,
what I mean.
Worst accent in the world there.
The wheel spin.
That lands on Germany.
On Norway.
Would that be the Boulogne part of Norway?
Yes.
You're doing there?
Yeah. It's the German garrison out of France.
Fair play. Yeah, would you do it over the ocean, or would you wait until the landing craft had silently approached the beach with the whistle of the wind through the trees as the clank of the metal as it hits the beach suddenly?
You're nearly right, yes. He leapt forward from his position, playing on his bagpipes, before throwing a grenade and running into battle.
This man is a hero. Oh, if you're going to do anything, just the thought, just to be inside his head as he approached the beach, playing with the bagpipe ready to go, the grenade pin in his hand, thinking, yeah, we're going to do this. This is my time. Yeah, for the 15th time. If that was me, I'd pull the pin, drop the bagpipe, and then, you know, drop, and then just be a loud parpy explosion. Now, you say he threw a grenade. Did it hit anything, or did he throw it by mistake?
It's not recorded here. I don't know.
What hero?
So we've had France, 1940. Norway, 1941. Where was he in 1943?
Italy.
Correct.
Well, he's got some good air miles, hasn't he?
Not sure. Not sure. Dropping air miles on the army's flights.
I've seen a video of a bagpiper in a parachute. It was.
That was so close. I'm going to drink that later. Go on.
Yeah. It was in the 70s. The news, basically the one show of the 70s, nationwide, did a segment. I don't know why, because I've only seen the clip itself. It's a bagpiper, a low altitude plane. He's got the parachute on one of those cords that automatically triggers it. Yeah. Jumps out, starts playing Scotland the Brave on the way down. And it's great because he gets in, he gets the drone on, but then it hits the ground. And he cannot do a landing and hold on to the bagpipes at the same time.
You've got to flare. You've got to pull down both straps. And
if that's a technical term, yeah, so be it. But all I heard was, as he got dragged along by the wind on the floor with a mournful parp of an emptying bagpipe.
A mournful parp of a bagpipe. Yeah.
This sadly was not a parachute. This was a landing site.
Was this, again, the same as Norway, yet slightly sunnier?
This was the same as Norway, yet slightly more.
Oh! More.
What hasn't he used? Whoa, he had his bow as well.
Yes, he had the broadsword, the longbow, and the bagpipes.
And the grenade?
It doesn't say.
He's like the people you get in computer games. Like, it's funny because you could never carry all of these. How's he carrying all of these? Where did he get that from? He was holding a sword a minute ago.
I'm playing the bagpipes, which is, a two-handed instrument. Yeah.
How fantastic would it be if he just had a Batman, though? Oh. You know, going back like another 50 years where you just have a gentleman's gentleman with you and just take him on the battle. Broadsword, if you would, Jeeves.
Yes,
he's a little way off. Longbow. Thank you. Nothing's happening. Bagpipes, we'll summon some more.
Number three would for the grenade.
I suggest the pitching wedge, sir? They're awfully dug in.
Oh, I was thinking more cricket bat. I was thinking
pitcher up.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Going full zombie into that.
Well, I seem to recall someone saying that the effective range of a grenade is further than you can throw it.
Right, so you do need something like a bat behind it then.
Well, or you need to chuck it into somewhere and move out.
Christian, you're chucking it. I'm running the other way. I've got the bagpipes.
Would you want to bat a grenade?
Yeah, I reckon I would.
Oh, wait, no.
I mean, to be
extra
fair,
second on the detonator just for the pitch up. Yeah.
If you miss it, you're in trouble.
Look, I didn't say this wasn't one for the courageous soldier, did I?
He infiltrated the town.
Yeah.
Which he in the bagpipes.
Hang on.
Not they, he.
Infiltration and this man don't sound like words that go together.
Well, you see, he was ordered to capture a German observation post. How did that go?
Surprisingly well.
Yeah, I'll give you the point. He captured 42 prisoners.
No one tried to shoot the bagpipes.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's not the first thing you... Well, I don't know.
It depends how anti-bagpipe you are.
If I was there, that would be the first thing I'd go for.
You've got three bullets. What do you shoot the bagpipes three times?
I could just see the bullet going through and going, you shot my pipes.
No, I'm angry.
He wasn't Scottish. I'm going to point this out. Yeah. He wasn't Scottish.
Yeah, but they wouldn't know that.
He was captured.
And, yes, was he?
Do you know the story there?
I can only presume that he was captured, went along willingly, beat all the guards at chess and poker, drank the camp commandant's rum, then dug his way out with his teeth while the commandant was passed out, chewing on broken glass and spitting it at guards before having relations with the entire female population of the nearest town, lighting a cigarette on the ground, not even using a match, flipping the V and then walking into camp and saying, "What have you f***ers been doing?"
Tom.
Just as a guess.
Tom, please ding. For the love of God, please ding.
I mean, it's not even close, but I'm even giving the point for it. Crawled under the wire, through an abandoned drain, and tried to walk to the Baltic coast. Ended up being recaptured, escaped again, walked 93 miles to Verona in Italy, and met the Americans there.
I bet they were delighted to see him.
And then continued and went to Burma.
Arriving in 1957.
Well, this thing, by the time he got there, what had happened?
Was war over?
Yes, absolutely right.
No. That must have been very disappointing for him.
And I'm going to quote here, "If it wasn't for those damn Yanks, we could have kept the war going another 10 years.
See what you did? You ruined that man's 1940s.
Wow. That is an insight into his mind, isn't it?
Yes.
Hang on a minute. I really genuinely want to ask a genuine question. What the frick did he do after the war? Because he is tooled up and angry.
Well, he walked him on a checkout in Sainsbury's.
Oh, no, he walked back from Burma to Korea. He walked to Vietnam.
The answer is, and I'm giving you a retroactive point here, Gary.
Oh, respective point.
Because you've already said the word. What did he qualify as in the army?
Supermarket? I can't remember what I said.
You are now a professional supermarket, sir.
Where did that come from?
Because I think he said, imagine him in the supermarket. And that's all that was there for that brief second was the word supermarket. Supermarket. He became a Londis. That's bad.
Pick a word, anyway.
Pulling bottles of wine out.
From under the kilt that he's not wearing, yeah. Nail bar?
Parachutist. There are stories of him assisting a medical convoy, coordinating evacuations, all sorts of things like that. And then, coming back to England, went back and made another appearance in a film.
Was he in a Bond film?
No, he was in Ivanhoe. What did he appear as?
A bagpipe.
Close.
A longbowman.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. What skill did he pick up in late 1950s Australia?
Boomerang wanging. No.
Wanging being a very specific word there.
I think that action could conceivably...
Technically it's boomer wanging. But
And also, no, a wang is underarmed, isn't it? As in welly wanging.
Okay, so
the phrase welly wanging was just lost on half the audience.
Gumboot throwing, if you are from the home counties. Yeah.
No, don't they have the word welly?
No.
No. Well, it's a Wellington, isn't it? As in after Wellington. Yeah. So, but it also brings back to the excellently named 1980s computer company from Oxfordshire, Wang. And that Oxford United in the 1980s were sponsored by Wang. So on the front of their shirts for years and years was the word Wang, repeatedly.
Late 1950s, Australia, what was being developed there?
Surfing.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. He became a passionate, I'm quoting here, passionate devotee of the surfboard, one of the first people in Britain to surf. And specifically, one of the first people in Britain to surf what?
Seven Ball.
Point. You're absolutely right.
That's the tidal river thing, isn't
tidal,
it?
Yeah, tidal surge.
Yeah, there was a single tidal wave that on particularly strong tides rolls up the River Severn. And nowadays, like, it's filled with surfers and boats and drones flying overhead. It's just this guy on a surfboard.
One. Pissed off guy from Ceylon playing the bagpipes, swinging a claymore around his head, having finally conquered another element.
Picking up, opening your curtains, and
I can. Yeah, can you hear bagpipes? I can't hear bagpipes. That's completely impossible. By this placid River Severn, with the occasional "Oh, sweet Georgia." No! Bristol, you're mine. Did he end up declaring war on himself?
In retirement, it says, his
eccentricity... Retirement?
Is this man going to retire?
How is this man going to retire?
His eccentricity continued.
No, right. You just thought he'd have settled down. You know, people, when they hit the retirement, are usually self-placid. I've seen Last of the Summer... Was he doing Last of the Summer Wine only with claymores? Bathtub.
He startled train conductors and passengers by throwing his briefcase out of the train window each day on the ride home. Why?
Did you try and get it in one of the post office nets for the travelling post offices?
The what?
The way they used to pick up mail in ye olden, in not ye olden days, but you know, in the days of travelling post offices, you would have a hook by the side of the railway line that would dangle a bag full of mail. At which point, the carriage would come towards it. It had a bit of sticky out net that would be dropped out at exactly the right moment, would hit the hook, the mailbag would drop into the net and be sprung into the carriage, at which time another hook would be slung out from the train with another bag of mail that would be dropped in the same location, like that.
Wow.
Precise timing and speed and location.
In such a way that they don't have to stop to pick up the mail. And
exactly.
Drop the mail.
It just
all
goes.
Just a train goes, vroom, 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 and then the posters happen.
And then the letters be. Yeah.
This so is the night mail crossing the border.
Well, that's the noise of it, isn't it? And suddenly, bag. And in this case, briefcase. And Claymore. And Angry Man from Ceylon.
He wasn't trying to get on the mail pole. He was aiming for a specific target.
His garden.
Oh, that is amazing. I want to do that on the way home. Doesn't quite work in the tube.
I was
going
to say.
I was just going, which really sucked when he moved to London.
He lived the age of 90.
Not surprised. Who could kill him? death just walked away.
He died in 1996 and was later named one of the finest explorers and adventurers of all time.
By himself.
By the Royal Norwegian Explorers Club. At the end of the show, congratulations, Chris. You obviously win this one.
Yeah,
for the,
you won this one.
Is
30
that,
seconds,
is that the madman with the claim? Yes.
I'm going to say
yes,
that's up there as a record.
Right.
It really is.
Congratulations, you win two words mixed together by the actor who played Padme in the Star Wars prequels.
No.
It's a Natalie Portmanteau.
Oh, hey! I like that.
With that, we say thank you to Chris Joel.
There you go.
To Gary Brannan. To Matt Gray. I've been Tom Scott, and we'll see you next time.